Good afternoon and welcome in to, indeed, the afternoon show here on WEEI. Host number two, Andy Jumbo Hart here sliding into the one chair, even though that chair is in my own home studio. Christian Arcan taking a long weekend for a wedding, and that means whether you like it, love it, hate it, you get it. It is Jumbo Hart and Nick Fitzy Stevens, Fitzy and Hart. It's a Patriots Friday, so it's a Six Rings Friday here on the afternoon program. And Fitzgerald, after a little trick-or-treating last night, are you you okay? Did you eat too much candy? How are we feeling this morning, this afternoon?
Spectacular. Absolutely. Yeah? The vibes are immaculate right now in the studio. Ooh. I am in a phenomenal mood. I'm fired up for the football game on Sunday. The weather is pure. I have a belly full of Almond Joys, Take Fives, Butterfingers, and Paydays right now. I mean, what else could you possibly look for at a time like this, Andy? It is November 1st now. We lose an hour of sleep this weekend. I know the days are going to be getting shorter. The shows get longer. We have life again in Patriots Nation. What could you possibly ask for? What more could you ask for?
Well, I got a minor thing to ask for, and Tom Curran just touched on it. Although, I don't recall, in the Wells report, was it more likely than not, but I might be wrong, so don't hold me to it.
It's more probable than not, I believe, was the triggering phraseology.
I just like when people couch it. Tom believes, like I believe, that Drake May has, all the circumstantial evidence has trended toward watching him play. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, as of Gerard Mayo speaking with the media today, I believe he is still in the protocol. Even if we feel like he's trending toward playing, we don't have any definitive information, although it will be interesting to see what he has listed on the injury report, practice report today. I believe it's probably going to be that he was limited today. That's what Gerard Mayo suggested would be the case.
16 people on the injury report, correct?
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
It's only a quarter of your football team.
The Titans got a boatload of them that didn't practice yesterday, and they kind of stink even when everybody does practice.
Kind of stink.
Yeah, that's true. It's more than kinda. Nothing kinda about it. But no, if you could give me one little trick-or-treat wish, November 1st wish, I want Drake May to get cleared from the protocol so that Drake May can get his bum on the field in Tennessee and put on a show against a bad defense that will be without its best corner. Snead out already. That's a bad pass defense that I think you can take advantage of. In the back end there. I know they have some guys that can get after it a little bit, but I think you can throw the ball on them, especially without Snead, more so with your guy, Drake May. And I know you put out a poll this week because this is a topic that was near and dear to your heart, doing some shifts during the week and at night. What were the results of your poll? If cleared, now we don't have the if cleared part yet, but we're all hopeful that he's going to be cleared. If he is indeed cleared, what percentage of you people, and I know they're you people.
Here we go. Us did mark it down. It's 207. We got our first you people of the day. Thank you.
What percentage of you people would play Drake May on Sunday if he's cleared?
A lopsided dub for Team Stardom. It's football. 65%, only 35%, just over a third for Sidham. Be cautious. And I am sorry to see that only a third of the rational members of Patriots Nation could weigh in on this poll, because to me there is absolutely no need whatsoever to trot out the Cadillac on Sunday against the worst team in football. Now, you could argue that it's the Carolina Panthers. Maybe it's the Tennessee Titans. Any which way you cut it right now, with their injuries, the way things are going, bringing Will Levis back, who has confidence shaken, and it's not a day that ends in AY if his coach isn't yelling, "What the F are you doing?" at him. This is a prime spot to ride the momentum that Jacoby Brissett established in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter of last Sunday, and be extremely cautious with the franchise under center. I get it. I know. I'm expecting the text to come in at 37937. Whatever, bro. It's football. Hey, if he's healthy, you got to start him. If he's cleared, then he's in the clear. Let's do this thing, all right? You got a concussion.
Why are you going to do it in that voice?
Because that's...
You're leading the witnesses there.
Who they are.
No. You're making people that want to play May sound like jackwagons.
Yep.
And I don't think his head coach is a jackwagon. And I don't think he grunts when he talks or says it in a real deep voice.
That's how I hear him.
You're doing what Arcan likes to do. You're leading the witness. You're leading the conversation.
Go Tigers.
Let's just talk about... Oh, so Ed Orgeron.
Everyone's
is the one
Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, you know, if you got to play him, you got to play Drake May. Go Pats.
So 3 yards in a cloud of dust
Look, I don't know the science behind it, Andy. I'm not going to pretend... Did I reach out to... Have I spoken with a friend who is a neurologist? Yes.
Ooh, brag.
Yes.
You have friends who are neurologists.
Yes, I know.
I'm
yes.
Fitzy. My friends are smart.
Ah, and Stiz, it is 209, the first time that I got shamed for actually knowing smart people.
Smart people.
You know, sports radio is truly something, is a special place. It's the place, they want you to bring intelligence, they want you to bring passion, they want you to bring opinion. But God forbid, if you actually have some knowledge in a particular area that could be relevant to the conversation, you get shamed for being smart.
It's ridiculous. You were just bragging that you have smart friends.
Okay, well, she did very well for herself, and look where I ended up, as the fill-in for Arcan, doing a radio show with you with the, your friggin' underwear drawer open behind you.
Touche.
That said, Andy, I know for a fact, if neurologists and people that actually, you know, take care of your mentals, if you will, had their way, you would sit out at least 2 weeks, if not a month, after a concussion. They would probably do things drastically different than the NFL. And
they would get rid of football.
Hey, he's clear to play Sunday.
They would get rid of football.
Yeah, period. They probably would.
Right.
But if they had to live with it because the R.J. Reynolds of sports, the Philip Morris of competitive athletics, makes billions of dollars for this country, you live with it and its consequences. I understand. But maybe, just maybe, you don't run the risk of getting him dinged up again so quickly. And I know the line is better. We're not going to blame the offensive line. This was a scoot and boot. This was not the line getting
not
him pancaked
all. Yeah.
on Sunday.
This is him playing Drake May football.
Correct. And so there's a risk that comes with it. I understand. But if you feel like you can win this game with Jacoby Brissett, and if the win, how much does the win matter? I guess that's the big question to me. It's not, do you want to see Drake play? To me, in a lot of ways, it's how badly do you need to see this win for the Patriots?
It's not for me about needing to see the win, because I think you know I don't really actually want to see wins in a weird way. I'm still of the mind that I'm competing for a high draft pick, but I want Drake May to feel good. I want Drake May to play fun football. I want Drake May.
How good do you want him to feel?
As good as can be. Oh, yeah, good. Except maybe don't win it, so then you can't do oh, yeah, in the post. Whoa, camera change. I can see Fitzy really up close and personal. I can see his nose.
Oh, he switched
now.
To a different angle. I trimmed them just for you.
Thank God. You didn't trim the up top, though.
Nope, I'm not. I still have one more costumed affair tomorrow night that I have to attend to. So I need the wall of hair. But by next week, I'll be less hirsute.
So, yeah, for me, it's not about wins or losses. Okay. Now, there's the selfish part of me. That it's about entertainment value. You know, mm-hmm. my theory is that it's sports entertainment, mm-hmm. and I want to be entertained. And I think this team has struggled to entertain people when Drake May was not the quarterback, mm-hmm. not only struggling to lose games, but struggling to keep eyeballs on games. And we'll get into that later, because I had a buddy that actually brought that up to me, the difference between the feeling going into a Sunday now and like 10 or 15 years ago, where you're checking other, hey, are there tea times? Oh, there is a tea time? Where in the old days, you wouldn't even consider it. But
nothing.
Now... you are what you are, mm-hmm. and you're a more entertaining football team. Also, I think there's value. Jerod Mayo, we'll get into this a little bit later. The wide receivers, he thinks they've had a good week. He thinks they might be progressing and moving forward. I need Drake May on the field to get them feeling good, because the reality is early in the year, the wide receivers were complaining about not being seen when they were open, not being targeted when they were open. The narrative changed when Drake May came in to, hey, he throws us the ball, we just never catch it, so we should probably start catching it because now we're getting thrown to. And I need him on the field with those guys to progress the offense, and this is a winnable football game.
Yes,
this
is.
Honestly, if it's Will Levis versus Drake May, it's kind of a fun, crappy football game, I guess I'd describe it as. I'm not going to say it's good. They're two bad teams. But it's two athletic quarterbacks, mm-hmm. who are trying to find their way. One who's finding a better way earlier, mm-hmm. in Drake May. One who's trying to salvage. He was hot. He was throwing touchdowns to D-Hop last year. Now he's kind of in the doghouse. But it's a much more fun, crappy game if it's Levis versus May.
Which I love.
Nobody wants to see Mason Rudolph versus Jacoby Brissett. Sorry.
No.
I'm not really sorry, because nobody wants to see it. It's the truth.
I was, Andy, putting together the Sunday 7 for WEI.com, and I always end it with a little section called the NTKs, the need to knows, and that way you get like the weather, what's the vibe in the city, history between the teams, etc., and also your broadcast team and where it's going to be running. To be quite honest, I had never heard of the broadcast team that Fox has assigned. I don't know. Stiz, could you look it up for me? Could you effort that? The broadcast team?
You already wrote it and don't remember their names?
I don't. Oh, it's like Flip Zilman, Mark Schlereth, and Jen Hale.
Okay, I've heard of Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, I've heard of Mark Schlereth before, but like the play-by-play guy, I have no idea who it is.
He probably went to Syracuse.
Like Spiro Ditas is Jim Nantz compared to this guy.
So, and that's part of it. I want to be entertained, and most of the country's not going to see the game. I saw the map put out for the broadcast.
506, yeah.
Basically, you're in Nashville, you're in New England, or you're one of those places. You're not watching this game otherwise. And I think there's value in, because I thought going all the way back to August, they wasted reps for Drake May against mm-hmm. the Carolina Panthers in the preseason. Should have had more reps. This, to me, would be wasted reps. But more importantly than that is the simple, we do business is done. Mm-hmm. I have to trust the doctors and the trainers and the independent neurologists and the league and the protocol. And I don't think there's any reason for me individually or Gerard Mayo to not trust the process, to not trust the people that this is their layer of expertise, because he was saying back to halftime, oh, he looked good actually at halftime. I thought he looked okay. He kind of wanted to go back in the game. Like, just his, and this is obviously a layman's perspective. He's a head coach. He's not a head doctor. He's not a brain doctor like your fancy friends over there. And he, what are you looking
at? They even get the voice too?
Yeah, a little bit. So you play Drake May, one, because the NFL clears him to play, mm-hmm. and they're the experts. We've been going through this for years now. They've put a process in place that is supposed to safeguard against most issues. And two, mm-hmm.
Well,
it's supposed to. I didn't say it does always. I said it's supposed to. And then two, you do it because he's the best quarterback on your team. If he is cleared to play, football players play football. And I would say three is, if you bubble wrap him for this week, mm-hmm. when do you take the bubble wrap off? Is he ready next week?
Sure.
So he's miraculously ready next
week.
What if seven's not enough? What if it's 14?
Then make it 14. Andy,
what if it's 21?
Are you married to this guy? I know you'd love to literally be married to this guy, but are you married to this guy
for
longer than just even the five years? Are you like, you want to see Drake May as the quarterback of the New England Patriots for anywhere between 10, 15, 17 years. Here we go. By the way, thank you very much, Jacob Javon Lesnar, bringing in our information. It is Jason Benetti and Mark Schlereth.
You're
on
right.
The
Never
call.
Heard of him.
Jason Benetti. Sounds like the name of like a famous female would dance with on Dancing with the Stars.
Sounds like a wrestler that would go to the WWE and they're like, yeah, Jason Benetti doesn't work. We're going to have to come up with a different name. Sorry, Jason. We're going to drop the Benetti.
Jason B. So if you give him all the time he needs, the reason being, this is a development year.
If they clear him, he's ready.
But you just said, what if it's another 7 days? What if it's 14
more days? No, that's my point. People like you. No, wait an extra week. Why?
People like
when
me.
A recipe says cook it for 30 minutes at 325, do you say, let's do 40?
Okay, Andy. There's a recipe here.
Okay. There's a rundown, and if they say he's cleared, he's gone through the entire process, he's uh-huh. sweat for 30 minutes, he's got a little contact, he's recovered the next day, he's done everything, mm-hmm. and they say he's ready yep. to play football.
He's ready for Benetti.
Ready for Benetti, baby. Why would you hold him out? Especially in a game, if you told me this was a game against, they're going to be overmatched, it's, you know, whatever,
The Bills, the Rams, even next week, the Bears. Obviously, the Bears
right.
defense.
But this is a winnable game where the reps could be valuable moving forward. Put him in situations that it's mm-hmm. a competitive game, or put him in situations where it's not. Maybe they get a little momentum, and maybe they treat the Titans like the Lions did, and maybe they roll them, motorboat them, mollywop them, as the missing host likes to say. Maybe they have some fun, and maybe they build some momentum. We did see this week, coming off a win,
yep,
things felt better.
Oh, the vibes were good. Yeah.
Like, there were no calls for firings.
Nope.
Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, and DeMarcus Covington all had been discussed as should they be replaced at some point last week. There's been no discussion of that. It's mm-hmm. been delayed at least a week. So if this team is not hell-bent on my little plan of getting the number one overall pick, then put your best football players out there. Let them get experience. Let them build momentum. Let them build culture. Let him build his leadership. Mm-hmm. Let him show his toughness. Let him do whatever you do, because the league says, ready to go.
If that's what the league says, that almost leads me to believe that he was never truly concussed in the first place. That this glancing blow, like, he's been in the protocol, but at any point has anyone ever said, oh yeah, no, he was concussed. It almost leads me to feel like you can be in the protocol out of an abundance of caution.
Sure.
Because he seems to be, He looks fine. He's moving around like
the coach. But he did something. It wasn't just the hit.
No.
You can get hit in the head and not go in the protocol. Something took place in the evaluation process, either in the blue tent or then, well, definitely in the blue tent.
I think the spotter that was looking from the up top saw it and said that was too significant for him to still be in that game.
No, but he would have gone back in if he didn't. There was something else. When they started doing eyeball tests or asking him questions, something
Drake, triggered
where
are you them. From? Tuesday. All right, let's go ahead and take the half off.
Well, no. If he said Tuesday, then I would say he shouldn't be playing this week. I don't think there was anything to that degree. I think it was cautious. Something was like, something's not quite right, and we're not going to risk it. And I think that's smart. That aspect of it is, I think, if there's anything, like even if the league today is a little bit uncertain as to how he recovered to something or how he reacted to something. You know, they got his heart rate up, and then they were hitting him in the head with pool tubes or something to get him a little contact, and he's like,
the old noodle test.
Yeah, well, you know, they do stuff like that to bring guys back slowly from concussions, like a little bit of a blow to the head, a little bit of contact,
just a little trauma, a little slap, a little slap and tickle, a little
and
pillow fight.
if there's anything, then yes, I agree with you, be cautious. But if the league says your trainer checked off on it, your doctor checked off on it, and our league expert independent neurologist checked off on it, who am I to say he's not? I'm just a football coach. You're telling me my player's ready. I'm going to put him on the field.
And I'm just a football fan that happens to be on a microphone opposite you on an afternoon radio program. But I will tell you this. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the NFL, given that they understand the NFL is a better place when the new evil empire, the Patriots, is a good football team, that when they have stars that they can market the league around, like a Drake May, and when they actually have quarterback prospects that turn into high-level quarterbacks as opposed to all these different stars that are now being benched at the quarterback position. I almost wouldn't even be surprised, Andy, if the league dialed up 1-800-PATRIOTS and was like, why don't you go ahead and let the kids sit this week? How bad of a look would it be for the team?
I mean,
no, for the team, for the process, for the protocol of the league, if he takes another glancing blow by chance and, oh, no, he's out again.
No.
That'd be
you
terrible.
Can't play scared. Scared money don't make money. Patriots are in the business of making money big time. They're moving forward with Drake May. Don't let Fitzy persuade you. 617-779-7937. Do you think Drake May should play on Sunday if he is indeed cleared? There is optimism in Foxborough. There was hope from both Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo that he may make it through the protocols and be available on Sunday. That is still a possibility. 37937 if you want to text us. We see you lining up on the phone lines. 617-779-7937. It is the afternoon program here on WEEI with Nick Fitzy Stevens filling in for Christian Arcand. I'm here every day as host too, Andy Jumbo Hart. And Stiz is here every day to give you the update on what's trending now.
Tennessee. Titans, Patriots, Nashville, Tennessee. That is Fitzy. I'm Andy. WEE. Afternoons. We are here, and now I'm done because it's WEEI afternoon.
Wow, save
show.
That drop.
Oh, that's definitely
that's coming back.
Andy Fitzy. Just freestyled.
Fitzy and Hart, a six rings Friday afternoon, Patriots Friday afternoon, as Coach Mayo just said right there, in advance of another sneaky stretch here of winnable football games.
It is a sneaky stretch. There's a couple sneaky dubs maybe on the horizon.
All we talked about all offseason was how hard the schedule was, and I feel like there's been a stretch of winnable football games. Now, it helped that the Jets stink. That added them to losable football games.
And that the Dolphins went to the toilet, yes,
and
still
Dolphins
remain.
Stink. Yep. Stink worse.
A three-way tie for last place in the AFC East is not something I had on my 2024 NFL bingo card, but this particular season is a hell of a drug.
And I give you credit for the bunched-up nature being presented like that. It is not second place. It is last place.
No.
There's
no second-place team in the AFC East right now.
There's Josh Allen, there's the Bills, and then there's the rest of y'all messes in the AFC East. But the Patriots won't be a mess if Drake May is who we think he is, Fitzgerald. And 617-779-7937, let us know if you believe that Drake May should play. Fitzy 37937, what are they saying on the text?
All right. Right here, Andy on the 860, playing May on Sunday would be moronic, win or lose, but this is the NFL, and long-term health of brain matters does not seem to be that big a deal. Let's see. 508, why wouldn't the league want a budding star on the field? That doesn't even make sense. 774 Harfitz, love the show together, guys. 630, it's called being cautious, Andy. It's not like they have a chance to make the playoffs. In fact, it's better if they lose, which you have said previously. Now True. You're contradicting yourself. And 978 Fitzy, where did you get that magnificent hair?
Magnificent?
Mm-hmm. It's good lettuce.
It's good hair. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's being put to its best use right now.
No, it's a little wild right now.
Presentation.
It's kind of out there. I've kind of let it go.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah. No, I told you. I have.
You got something scheduled for next week, maybe?
I have a costumed affair I have to attend to tomorrow in Newton. A very nice gala to make money for the good people at the West Suburban YMCA. So I let the hair go. And then once I'm done with that, I can actually trim it up and start looking like a semi-respectable grown adult human.
Is the hair adding to the? Is it part of the costume?
Yes.
What can I ask? What the costume is?
Yes, a murderer.
What?
No, it's an 80s themed gala, so I'm gonna like slick it back and look like an 80s diva.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very easy for me.
Yeah, kind of like, I can, you know, see little, that.
Kind of. Thanks. Appreciate that. First time, long time, Stiz. Thank you.
That's right.
You know, like Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Yeah, I see. I could see that.
By the way, Andy, this has nothing to do with Drake May, but this is the kind of something you know you should expect when I'm your co-host, whether I'm driving, you're driving, or everyone's getting into a radio collision. A friend of mine just sent me this. The hat that Kurt Russell wore in one of my all-time favorite horror movies, since I know horror movies have been a thing the last couple of weeks. Yep. Arcan's a huge fan. The movie The Thing, the hat that Kurt Russell wears in that movie, just went to auction. The opening bid is $20,000.
Why?
So A, can I borrow 10 grand? And
no.
B, the big question for me is this. What movie item would you most want to bid on? Like, if you, like I'll, let me throw you one.
Wonder Boy.
The bat. That, yep. I might want the Savoy Special.
What's that?
That's the bat kids? He uses when Wonder Boy breaks in the final scene.
That's the kid, the fat
kid's
bat. Yeah,
the fat kid gives him some, yeah, the kid. Well, you, yeah, I see, why'd one. You have to call him fat?
Because he was fat.
Overweight, chubby, horizontally challenged,
husky.
All right.
You were there. I was there. He was there. The whole world sees you. They know you're fat. So I don't know why we need to just move on and pretend you're not
all right,
fat.
Wonder Boy's great. The Savoy Special will be a great one. That's a great, great one. Great offer. I would say maybe like Indiana Jones's whip.
Where are you going to use that?
All right.
Hey, now.
Come on. It's not that kind of show.
I was trying to think something, I think, and this would be more in Rich Keefe's landscape.
I sent it to Keefe immediately. It'll be on hashtag dork.
Superhero movies you could sell me. Like, I do think a legit Batman mask, headpiece, whole
the cowl.
Thing. Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Cowl?
Cowl,
yeah.
C-O-W-L.
Because I could definitely see myself walking around, I'm Batman, I'm over here. I could definitely have fun.
Why are my wings not ready yet?
Yes.
All right, dinner will be up in five. Jeez.
Yeah,
swear to me.
Is the cape attached? Is it going to cost me more?
There's a cape option.
Purchases.
Okay,
yeah.
A pool or a pond for you. Yeah, there's a cape.
Yeah,
option,
I would definitely. Can you
like?
Imagine,
I can see Rich going for like the Infinity Gauntlet from.
That'd be pretty cool.
From Endgame, having all like the original one from the movie.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, there's a lot of things I feel like I could pull from the Avengers, Batman, mm-hmm. Superman, various things. I just think the Batman one would be cool. If you put that on and then just walk down the street at dark.
Why not?
You would freak people the hell out.
Absolutely.
You might get hit also, but not a lot of reflectors on that. No, that's interesting. I would never spend money on any of that because I think it's crazy. The fact mm-hmm. that somebody would put $20,000 down for a hat.
Oh, that's nothing. You should see some of the movie props that go on.
Oh,
like,
I know, but why?
Millions, like, right?
Oh, yeah, some of it, yeah, of course.
I'd rather spend $20K on a jet ski, or I'd rather spend $20K on, like, a trip around the world than to buy some hat that I'm going to put on a shelf, and it's just going
to
sit there.
Then you get
there.
To tell your friends
yeah,
that's the hat from the
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. Every time you have buddies over, you're like, hey, you see that Batman mask up there on the shelf? Michael
yeah.
Keaton.
Yeah, that. Hey, did you see Andy pretending he was Kenny Powers again on his jet ski?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they would rather, like, hey, if I buy this hat, you can look at it with me in my home, or you and I can go on a cruise for 3 weeks around the world. Which would you rather I spend the time?
I'll take
Keaton's
the hat.
Yeah. Or the hat, yeah.
I'm going on a cruise around the world for 3 weeks. No, I get you. You want something experiential as opposed to some random
yeah.
tangible item. Now, if it was
plus, I feel like the hat, like, what if somebody comes in and doesn't know what it is and just, like, throws it away or, like, puts it on
who
and
throws
walks
away
out
hats?
Oh, I'm sure. I get a lot of hats. Okay. I got to throw away
You are
hats.
A man of many hats.
They don't fit, so that's why I throw them away. I need more visors. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Drake May is in the concussion protocol. Patriots, Titans, and Fitzy, I wanted to ask you this game. Who would you rather be? Like, I heard the Jones and Keefe doing the rundown, and I think it's true. If the NBA-style matchup were done with a draft of these teams, the two top picks would be Patriots. I think you could argue very strongly that it would go Drake May and Christian Gonzalez.
1-2 right off the board.
Overall, right? And then because some of their talent is a little older. Like Jeffrey Simmons is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Yep.
But he's a little older. So if you get Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, you're getting guys that are right on the beginning of their career. You could get another 30 combined years of playtime out of those two guys.
What about, let's see, I feel like there are players on the defense for the Titans that I would definitely want.
Sure.
Like I'd like Harold Landry. He's never really been the same
older.
Since that. Yeah, a little older.
And he's fine.
That ACL.
But he's not great.
No, he's not
You have
great.
The two best prospects slash players in this game because Will Levis is not all that exciting. I think like he's kind of taking a nosedive in what people believe he could be.
You know how bad, you know how much I wanted Legarius. Yeah, oh my God, ridiculous guns. But also, odd dude. You know, there's the whole banana peel, mayo in the coffee routine.
Oh, those mayo commercials where he's doing the split. May your game day be awesome.
Legarius Sneed, him being out is a sneaky big deal for the Patriots because
that's a good pass defense that becomes a bad pass defense, in my opinion, without him in the game. Now, he's missed a couple weeks here, but you saw the Lions put up 52 against him, which included, I believe, Jared Goff going like 8 of 11 with 3 touchdown passes.
12 of 15 for 85 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was cooking.
Their running game just absolutely decimated. Now, we don't have anyone nearly as fast as Jahmyr Gibbs. Side note, and I'm sure we'll explore this on a Six Rings pod in the future, Patriots running game needs more speed.
Well, Patriots running game needs a lot of things, in my opinion. It needs a star running back who always holds onto the ball.
Okay.
It needs a secondary back who's more consistent. It needs more room to work behind an offensive line that I think in their evolution has improved as a pass blocking unit more than they have as a run blocking unit. Because even early in the year, I argued when you were having more success on the ground, it was about the running back breaking tackles more than it was these big gaping holes.
Yeah, it was 116 of the 120 yards he gained against the Bengals was against first contact.
Yeah.
Which is bananas.
There's no question that Ramondre Stevenson hasn't been as good as I think anyone would want him to be. He's a little been banged up. He had the fumbling issues, so that was rolled in there. But Gerard Mayo keeps telling us he thinks he's one of the best backs in football, top 10 running back. They signed him, and I'm not sure you've gotten that out of him. You know, I've always liked to kind of paint Ramondre Stevenson as a poor man Saquon Barkley, and he hasn't really been that, quite honestly, this year. He's been good at times, and he's found the end zone at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like in terms of a guy who the offense was supposed to be, I don't know if built around is a strong word, but he is supposed to be at the center of this offense under Alex Van Pelt, right? Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be Nick Chubb. He's supposed to be the guy that you're wowing.
He's your focal point. It's like the offense runs through blank. Like last week, what did he have, 20 carries? Like he had the 2 touchdowns.
Like 20 for like 48 yards, something like that. So, and that absolutely can be better. And because you look at the way the Patriots have built it, and that's where I think Gerard Mayo is a little different. Is a little incorrect with his analysis of these two teams and where they're more different is the Titans, we all know, spent in the offseason. The Titans are built around more veteran talent. They go get a Calvin Ridley. They give him $90 million, $50 million guaranteed, and he's bitching about targets, so they get rid of DeAndre Hopkins and then target him 15 times last week, so I'm sure he's happy. They get Tony Pollard. They have Boyd. They're a little old, Sneed, even. Not that he's an old player, but a little older in his development
right.
of core players. And Brian Callahan, first-year coach, I said this yesterday. First of all, it took me a while to even come up with Brian Callahan as their coach. I actually needed Arcan to tell me because I'm like, who is this guy? And he's not very memorable. You're raising your hand to speak, Fitzgerald?
Yeah. This just a little bit of an update. This kind of like, I think this affects, if you will, the way that we'll look at this game and the need, based off of the first question of the day, of course, Andy, that you laid out for everybody, do you want to see Drake May or not, especially if he clears the protocol? This from a beat writer who covers the Titans, at T Davenport _NFL. You ready for this? At Tennessee Titans practice today, this is who you're going to be going up against Sunday. No sign of, this is Friday, So if you're not out Friday, you're pretty much probably not going to be playing Sunday.
Correct.
No sign of L'Jarius Sneed, Calvin Ridley, Tavondre Sweat, Tony Pollard, Tyler Boyd, Dylan Raddins, Tajay Spears, Amani Hooker, Andrew Rupchik, Trey Avery during open portion of practice.
Okay.
Anyone who's good on this team might be out.
That's, I thought, usually you get these late Friday, like, oh, this guy got on the field, so he's going to be limited and he's got a chance. It'll be a game time decision. But you're right. If all of those guys are out of practice on Friday, it's almost like one of the buses didn't make it to the practice field. Anybody seen bus three? Because we got a lot of players that aren't here yet.
Meanwhile, there's a film room or there's a lunch room. They're all locked in like, help, what is going on?
Yeah, there's already reports out of Tennessee that Sneed is definitely out. But if you go without Ridley and Pollard, who else did you have on there? That's a long list of guys. That's and they're a bet. We also need to remember they're a one-win football team.
Yeah,
they can afford to have people missing.
Okay, so they're number one and number three wide receivers in Boyd and Ridley. Sweat's a good defender. Tony Pollard is one of the guys I would actually worry about. He along with Spears. I think that's a great 1-2 punch at running back when they're healthy. Hooker at safety. Oh, holy smokes. Like, this is literally every level of their team right now is decimated. We thought we were injured with 15 guys on the injury report this week.
So two top receivers, two top defensive backs are out. Montez Sweat, a good defensive front player. They're running backs. Okay, yeah. I'm feeling better about this. What's the number? Aren't the three and a half? Getting three and a half?
Stiz, you got a guy, right?
Do I need to look up my FanDuel thing?
We got to use FanDuel.
Of course. No, yeah.
Three and a half?
If you want to keep it off the books, come talk to your boy.
If you want to keep it off the books, I don't think you talk about it live on the radio on WEEI's afternoon program. 617-779-7937. Unless you're the IRS, please don't call. We're not taking calls on any gambling debts and or winnings that may or may not be recorded for Nick Fitzy Stevens. He is filling in today for Christian Arcan. Long weekend. Had a getaway day yesterday. Got a wedding that he's going to enjoy, I'm sure. I hope he makes it back for Monday. And I hope on Monday, when we get to Patriots Monday, we're talking about Drake May's big win in Tennessee. Is that a possibility? Another team that could really use a win is the Boston Bruins. Jim Montgomery, that squad really kind of fell on their face last night. 8-2 loss. I actually saw the score and was like, is this a typo? Is this a misprint? Did they
8-2? I had a buddy over at the New Balance Fitness Center before the show today. Yep, get a nice workout in. He said it was so bad.
How bad was it?
He was at one house down on the South Shore. My buddy Scotty, he was at one house. He saw that it was 2-1. They did five houses later. Someone else had the game on in the living room, and it was 4-1. And he's like, what the hell happened? What'd you guys do?
Yeah, it went south in a hurry, down south. Bruins lose. Jim Montgomery's on the hot seat, Keith has reported. And we are going to talk about it. Fitzy, who doesn't want Drake May to play on Sunday, does he want Jim Montgomery to be fired? We'll talk about it next here on the afternoon show, WEEI. That's what happened last night to your Boston Bruins. And yes, it sounds even uglier and it's more painful when you take 8 goals allowed and squish them together into one montage of lowlights for this Boston Bruins team, which we've talked about a lot here on the afternoon show here on WEEI. Christian Arcand was worried from night one, and all you people out there told him, oh, you're overreacting, don't worry. Just so you wanted to know, Fitzy and Nick's Fitzy Stevens is alongside here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. There's you people for all the sports. It's not just Patriots. It's not just Six Rings Pod listeners,
right,
and Fitzy peeps. They were telling Christian Arcand after the opener, oh, it's one game. Why are you overreacting? Mm-hmm. And then a week later, when the Panthers took care of the Bruins again, it was only one game. And now it's only, I don't know, 11 games, and you're in last place, and they're going to fire the coach, and you're giving up 8 goals, and you're pulling Swayman, who's supposed to be the best goalie in hockey, and you just gave him big money. They can't score. You know why they can't score?
Why is that?
Because they can't shoot. They never get shots off. You see the 5-on-5 numbers? It was like they didn't get a 5-on-5 shot until the second period. They had 14-1 deficit.
Did you see how many shots on goal they put in last night? The goalie for Carolina, Kochkov, 13 saves.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened.
Only 15 shots.
Yeah,
15 shots. You should put 15 pucks on the net in a period.
Right.
You don't, over a whole game, what the hell are the Bruins doing?
They cannot shoot. They cannot make plays offensively. You had the lineup changes, the line changes. You had Montgomery pulling Swayman, which when it was already 6-2, I don't even know what the point is. Did you
When you give up 6 goals on 22 shots, you're basically giving up 1 out of every 3.5 shots.
It is bad from top to bottom, front to back, left to right, however you want to measure it and lay it out. And our buddy Scott McLaughlin will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. He had a pretty damning column on WEEI.com today that basically Montgomery kind of threw his Hail Mary, and, well, it was not a Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. Mm-mm. It just kind of fell incomplete. And now you wonder, we had Rich Keefe, and he said it yesterday on his show. Stiz, if you have it, let's get Rich Keefe's words about how hot right now Jim Montgomery's bum-bum is.
You were kind of on this, and then after the show, I got word that this is legitimate. Jim Montgomery is on the hot seat. The hot seat.
Mm.
If things don't get turned around, I think he's done.
That was ghost pepper style hot seat.
Yikes.
Right there.
What is turned around? Like, is it just like a win? Is it a winning streak? Is it two
exactly.
for one?
Is it lose 8-2? I don't think it's lose 8-2. I don't think that's a...
That's not how you turn around.
Speaking of turnarounds, let's turn around to the phone, 617-779-7937. I know Joe wants to talk a little bit about the Bruins and Monty. Joe, what'd you think about the quote-unquote effort last night from your Boston Bruins?
It was brutal. I mean, to your point, and I know you've made this point, they look slow. Mm. I think they overreacted to the loss against the Panthers in the playoffs last year. They said we had to get bigger, stronger, more physical. They did get bigger, stronger, but they got a lot slower. They're out of position all the time. They're not playing with hustle. I mean, two of those goals that Swayman gave up are not his fault. They got tipped in by Carlo. Mm. And, like, I think they just pulled him because it was like, you know, that's the only card he had left to play. Right. I don't think it's Jim Montgomery's fault, but I think you have to fire him. I just think the locker room has tuned him out. I mean, I know, like, Larry Bird has a theory about NBA coaches. They can only last 3 years, and then they get tuned out. I don't know if hockey coaches just get tuned out after 2 years. I think it's unfair because he's probably a good coach, but he's not getting the best out of him, and you have to just get a new voice in the locker room. And, you know, they just, it's brutal. They're brutal to watch.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the call. I don't disagree. I hate talking about calling for somebody's jobs mm-hmm. and firings, and because all these guys are professionals.
Sure.
But the reality is, when every member essentially of your roster, save for about three players, right, the fourth line, mm-hmm. when everyone is underachieving and mm-hmm. undermotivated and under-executing, that has to point to the coach. I'm sorry. Like, you are the leader of those men in that dressing room. And it's amazing, and it is NBA-like, and because he was the coach of the year, what, 2 years ago? So, like,
yeah,
less than
when they had
and
the
and
greatest
ago.
Regular season record
right.
of all time.
So now he can't coach. Now he needs to go. He can't motivate players. And there is something interesting to this between hockey and basketball, the quick turnarounds from coach of the year to being fired. But it happens in other sports. I know Jeff Fisher had a longtime Titans mm-hmm. head coach tying mm-hmm. it back into the game. Of
I'm
the
not
week.
Going 7-9.
You probably are going to go 7-9. That's who you are. But he believed, I think he said you lose 15% of the locker room every year. So if you stay, the next year it's 30%. Like, you're losing more and more of the locker room every time you're there. And that feels like the reality right now. Because I think Jim Montgomery has tried just about everything in this short start to the season. Mm-hmm. This frustration has built. Yelling at Marchand, going after him, screaming, holding papers over his face, making lineup changes, saying things in the media, kind of calling guys out a little bit. And it all feels a little bit like desperation and maybe too little too late for a lame duck coach.
Call him soft. See how that works.
Oh, soft. That worked out well for
right now. We're a soft. Just open with right now. We're a soft hockey team.
You think if he calls the Bruins soft, they'll ask Cassidy and he'll be like, I coach those guys. Those are not soft hockey.
those are my guys. I'll tell you right now. Marshy's not soft. You know, how about just maybe instead of just assigning the blame to the coach? And I was thinking when I was driving here today, like, this is starting to give me, like, going from Cassidy to Montgomery is starting to give me Parcells, pardon me for crossing sports. I know we always have to make that mention or qualifier. It's starting to give me Parcells to Pete Carroll vibes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because you generally, the pendulum swings one way. Oh, yep. Got to swing the other way.
Too hard ass. Let's go players, coach. And then, like, he was gone after three seasons.
Now they need a hard ass? Is that?
I think they need a hard ass again.
They need to. And we can ask Scott McLaughlin about that because I think the next step is, you know, when you're in these seats and people say they want to fire the coach, you usually say, okay, who you want to replace him with? Mm-hmm. And I don't know who the answer to that is, but I do agree with you that maybe it goes back in the other direction a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit more of a hard ass, because we had talked to Razor, Andrew Raycroft, before the season started, and he thought that the lame duck status, that the players would react favorably and that they would be like, what are you doing to my coach? We like him. We want to play for him. Give him his contract. It seems like it's gone the other way. If you base it on effort, energy, effort, and attitude, I would say, Fitzgerald, are not good. If I'm reading those from afar, if I'm Cam Neely reading those and Sweeney reading those, it does not look like this team is fighting for their coach and playing for their coach and laying it all on the line to get their coach a contract extension. In fact, kind of feels like the opposite.
Kind of feels like they're trying to run him out of town. But you do have to also ask, you know, are the Bruins healthy enough right now? Like, is this team...
Yeah, they're healthy enough. Marchand, score. Pasta, score. Swayman, stop the puck. McAvoy, stop the puck. Like,
yeah. Lindholm,
just not
stop
playing
the puck. Well. Yeah.
Lindholm, do something. Lindholm, yeah, do something.
Well, he scored a goal last night, at least. But, he had a shot. He had an assist.
Yeah, he had an assist. Great. We're getting beat 8-2.
Yeah, $6 million a year.
We did seven foul balls today, coach. 617-779-7937. If you want to talk about the Boston Bruins, Jim Montgomery, and their struggles to open the season, would you fire Jim Montgomery? And if we're going to get back to the Patriots talk in a little bit, would you start Drake May on Sunday if he is indeed cleared to play out of the NFL's concussion protocol? Fitzy says no way. I say you'd be crazy not to play him. The Titans are banged up. Build some momentum. Go win a game in Nashville. Hour number one, WEEI's afternoon program is in the books. No Arcan, no problem. It's Fitzy. It's Hart. It's two, and it's going to be three very soon.